All right, we're in this series on Live Love. Live Love. We're talking about this lifestyle of love. We're talking about the way that Jesus lived his life is the life that we're called to live. Right? When we read in Ephesians 5, it says, in verse 1, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do. Right? So everything that we do, we should be imitating God. Then it says, live a life of love, following the example of Christ. All right? So we're called to follow Jesus, who is perfect in every way, who lived this life of love. And we're called to be imitators of Christ, right? Now, are we going to be perfect? Yes, I am. I don't know about the rest of you. No, we're not going to be perfect. Right, but it also doesn't mean that we shouldn't live our life following after the example of Jesus. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go after growing ourselves and intentionally pursuing him and pursuing this life of love. See, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he walked this radical lifestyle of loving people that hated him, loving those who despised him and mocked him and made fun of him and cursed him. Those who didn't believe in him, he still loved and he chose to love, right? It's such a different mindset than what we're used to, than what anybody is used to. Even back then, what they were used to was completely different. He was just shocking them in the way that he loved people, in the way that he walked, in the way that he lived everything out of the mindset first of, I love you and I care for you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, right? And so this is a lifestyle that we're learning how to live. Seems difficult, might seem impossible at times. But God is giving us the grace and the ability to be able to live this life of love, to be an example to people, to stand out in a dark world, to be able to be that light that shines Jesus, that spreads his name, that spreads the gospel. But we have to learn how to live this life of love. So the first week we talked about how we've got to start from our starting place has to be first, I love because I'm loved. We have to come back to this place of knowing how much God loves us, right? You're never going to be able to love somebody back if you don't know how to be loved. If you don't know how much you are loved, we're just not going to know how. So our first step always is coming before God as a child of God and just standing in his presence, getting to know him, reading the word, right, praying consistently. When we come first as children before God, then we can start learning how to love people back. But we got to be children, right? We got to be a son and a daughter of God and know our place there. So that's our starting place first is I'm coming before God. So every time I mess up, every time I fall short, I come before God. God, I need you. I need more. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need everything you have for me today. Come back to that place. And then the second week, who knows what we talked about last week? Come on. Good excuse. There we go. Seeing people, yes, love sees through. Seeing through God's lens, right? So we see through the exterior of people, right? We don't just get so caught up on people's mistakes and their faults and just see them as their mistake. But we learn to see through that, and we see the potential, and we start to call that out in people, and we start hoping in who they are and who they're becoming, right? So we treat people how they ought to be, not how they are right now, not in the place that they're at, but where they should be, and where we know they're going to become, right? We start hoping in people. So that's what we talked about last week. And this week, we're going to be talking about living love, speaking love. This is a big one for us, right? Speak love. Our words have power behind them. So what are we using our words for? Ephesians 5, we read the first two verses, live a life filled with love. It's verse 2. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Then verse 3, it says this, let there be no sexual immorality. Turn in your neighbor and just stare at him awkwardly. Let that stand a little bit. Let there be no sexual immorality. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm talking to you. Impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Say amen. Pfft, did you mean it? Verse 4. And this is the one that we're going to focus in on right here. Maybe we'll come back to the sexual immorality and talk about that a little bit deeper next time. But this one, verse 4, says obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse joking. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. See, when Jesus walked this earth, he had a standard for what love looked like. He had a standard that he set for us as an example. So when God says, be imitators, or when Paul says, be imitators of God, therefore, and then follow the example of Christ living a life of love, we are following Jesus who lived this perfect life of love, imitating the Father God. But there was this standard that he set and that he lived for. Now listen, many of us can tend to, or many Christians in general, tend to jump from one side or the other side. So there's people that are overly religious and think that, you know, we have to keep every law and every rule and we've got to follow the rules perfectly and completely. And so then they live their life very much of, well, if I do this right and I do this right, then God is going to love me. And then I'm going to access the Holy Spirit. Or then I get to unlock something. Then he's going to help me if I do everything perfectly. Now, Jesus ran into this problem with the Sadducees and the Pharisees often because they were so much looking at this religion, a religious mindset of I have to do this right and I have to do this perfectly, that they forgot or they didn't even see Jesus as he was walking in. So Jesus doesn't say that the law is bad in any way. But Jesus says it's not about the law, it's about me. It's about relationship with me. And they couldn't see Jesus because they were so stuck on the rules. And this is what we end up doing sometimes, is we get so focused in on doing everything perfectly that we forget about Jesus. That he is our purpose. That he is our relationship. That relationship with him and time with him is what we need to long for and go after. That it's not just about following the rules, because if that's all we see, then we miss the point. And that's what Jesus was trying to open their minds to. Now we have other people that jump on the other side and say, oh, well, I'm saved by grace. It doesn't matter what I do. Jesus is going to forgive me. I'll just repent in a couple hours. I'll just get super high and super drunk and then repent, and Jesus is going to have me back. There's our worship leader right here. Now, maybe we don't say that out loud. Like Maggie did. But there's still that side of us that just thinks, well, it's okay as long as I still love Jesus. I can fill in the blank. I can do whatever I want. I can act like the world, look like the world, fit in with everybody else and just conform to whatever I want to do as long as I just still love Jesus. Right? And so then there's people that jump on the other spectrum, all the way on the other side of what I like to call greasy grace. It's sloppy. There's no standard to it. There's no living this life of love. It's just all, well, Jesus saved me and I'm okay. Yes, Jesus does save us when we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior of our life. We are saved. But we're still called to live an example of Christ to the people around us. We're not called just to wait on this earth until we get picked up and sent to heaven and just do nothing in the meantime. But we're called to make a difference right here, right now, in the people's lives that are around us. So Jesus came in and did both, right? He lived that perfect life, fulfilling those parts of the law that was significant. But then he also lived this life of relationship and love over other people. And this is what we're called to, is to come in the middle and to do both. That there's still a standard that we live by. There's still things that we ought to do and we ought not to do. There's still a calling on us that looks either like love or like something else. So what are we living for? Right? Are we living this example of a life of love, or are we just kind of living selfishly, doing what we want to do and then coming to church once a week and being like, oh, I love Jesus, but I do whatever I want. Jesus came to set this example, to live this radical life that was so much different than everybody else. And that's why the Bible talks about being a light in the darkness, because light stands out in darkness. It stands out. You see it. When there's a flashlight on and it's dark outside, you see it. Someone's on their phone and it's dark around, you'll see it. Because light stands out in the darkness, and this is how we're called to live our life. All right, so then we look at this scripture. And it says this. It says to, forgot where I was. Okay. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse joking, these things are not for you. So if we look through this religious mindset, then we might see this just as rules. Well, it's just telling me what to do. Right? This is just another thing that I have to just do. And then you're going to get tired of doing it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult to live this perfectly, to never say a joke that you didn't mean or say something wrong. Right? If we live in this mindset of, well, I just have to do this. I just have to do this because this is what the Bible says. Then it becomes a have to. But if we look at it through the lens of, I want to live this life that Jesus lived. I want to live this life that stood out, a life of love, that I don't see it as just rules that I have to do. I see it as an opportunity to empower somebody. I see it as an opportunity to speak love into people's lives. I see it as an opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus or show somebody the light of God because of my actions, because of the words that I speak. When we start to change our lens and our mindset to what we see living this life of speaking love over people, we're either going to see it as rules and probably try and rebel against it, or we're going to see it as opportunity to actually empower somebody. What do you want to be remembered for? When people talk about you, which they will, what do you want them to say? Gosh, Reed, he's so obnoxious. He's always saying mean things, so arrogant, looks at people funny, awkwardly stares, really, redhead jokes? Okay, we're not talking physical appearance things, guys. Right? What? Yells at people frequently, spits when he talks. Is that what we want to be known by? Or do we want to be known as the person that actually saw something in you? Right? I want to be known as somebody when people talk about me. They say, man, he makes me feel welcome. He makes me feel included. I feel like I'm a part of his family when I'm around him. I always feel built up and excited and like I'm the best person in the world. Even when I've made a mistake, even when I've messed up, he just loves me. He just cares about me. I can tell just the way he talks to me. See, when we see it as just rules and I have to, usually we rebel against it. Or we just conform because that's what we have to do, and then eventually we're going to get tired of living that way. Or we see it as an opportunity of, I want to stand out. I want to speak into that person. I want them to leave feeling like they can take on the world. I want them to leave feeling like their dreams just doubled. I want them to leave feeling like, man, somebody believed in me. Somebody cared for me. Somebody thought of me. And we have the ability to be able to look that way and speak those things into people where they see us in that lens. Right? But we have to come through this mindset first of, I want to live this life of love. So in order to do that, there's some things that we need to refrain from. There's some things that we have to not do. Right? In order to be the light and to stand out in the darkness, we can't look like the darkness. If we say the same things that people do in the world, if we look at the same videos, if we make fun of people just like everybody else, how are we standing out in the darkness? We're not, right? We're just conforming to it. We become like it. So in order for us to stand out, in order for us to live a life of love, there are standards and there are things we have to remove from our life. So first one is obscene stories. Like filthy and perverted talk. Refrain from obscene stories. This seems like an easy one, but probably not. So what does this look like? Dirty jokes? Sexual innuendos? Everybody laughs at it. Oh, that's hilarious. You know, there's one that shocked me. Several years ago, I heard somebody starting to say these jokes, and I couldn't believe it was a thing. They're like dead baby jokes. You guys heard of these? Yeah, you probably all know them. Terrible. Obscene stories, obscene talk, like filth. Like, why is that something that is acceptable? Why is that something that's funny? I'm not trying to like condemn everybody if you laughed at a dead baby joke. You shouldn't, but seriously, like, these are the kind of things we just make normal. I heard junior hires saying this, and it was just like normal talk. Oh, have you heard this dead baby joke? What? That's a thing? Yeah. No, like 100 of them. You gotta be kidding me. Right? But it's become accepted. It's become normal. It's become just part of our talk. Maybe not dead baby jokes, but things like this where it's just too much. It's just over the line. Perverted stories. A lot of this is in like the movies or the videos that we watch or the music that we listen to. What is the tape that is playing? What is being shown? Is that something that we really should be diving into, really be talking about? Does it show love to other people? Do people leave feeling encouraged, built up, empowered? Even if they're laughing at it. Is it something that edifies people? Or is it just things that we need to refrain from? So obscene stories. The second one is foolish talk. Oh, this is an easy one that's just everybody gets into at times. So it's something like cussing, perverted language. Right? It just seems normal. I mean, you hear it all the time with the people around you. But let me ask you this. If I came up here and told the most like perverted joke and then dropped an F-bomb, what would you guys think of me? Some of you probably be like, yeah, I'd come back every time. Hopefully you'd get a weird taste in your mouth and be like, are you kidding me? Isn't he a pastor? What happened? Right, but this has become the norm, it's become the standard, it's become what everybody talks about, and it's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, everybody does it. Yeah, but we're called to be a light in the darkness, do the things not everybody does, and stand out for love and for being an example of Christ and who he is. But we so easily just get into the language that everybody else says, talk the way that they talk, act the way that they act. And it just becomes normal. It just becomes day to day. We don't even think twice about it. Or is it putting people down? Right? We make jokes. We're like, oh, it's just a joke. But we're destroying somebody. We're destroying somebody's character. Or we're putting somebody down. Or somebody is leaving not laughing. Somebody's leaving a little hurt on the inside. And we make it so light and so, oh, I was just playing. I was just joking. We take things so personally. We're so serious all the time. Right? But when we become like this, and it just becomes normal, normal talk, normal life, we're not standing out and we're not living this example that's set apart from everybody else, that's not conforming to the world's standards. And instead of degrading, instead of putting people down, instead of making sexual jokes, instead of making racial comments, instead of trying to harm somebody and make somebody feel hurt and make somebody else laugh, that we can come in and love people and encourage people and build them up and say something positive about them and say something that encourages the people around you. And then people will probably make fun of you for that. Well, at least you're starting to stand out, right? At least we're starting to make a difference here. So mocking, right? This is an easy one. We all do this. You guys have probably mocked me already today. Just kidding. Mocking people, not filtering our feelings, right? You might be real passionate about something. It doesn't give us the excuse to just go yell at them and say something mean and just tear them apart. We've all done this. Again, this is not condemning. This is like, God, shame on you. I struggle with these things too, especially like the sarcasm and the mocking and the joking, or at least pretending like I'm joking. But how we treat people is a reflection of something. It's either a reflection of love, of building people up, of encouraging people, or it's a reflection of tearing people down, which produces death, right? So one or the other. So what are we living for? What kind of standard are we setting? Is gossip the normal? Who do you got to talk about today? Did you see Reese the other day? Stinking redhead. Man, I love that Reese kid, man. He's awesome. Positive gossip. Slander. Judging people's motives. Right? These are the kind of things that you say, okay, refrain from this. Coarse joking, right? This is an easy one. Sarcasm, bantering, witty remarks, putting people down, covering it up, being like, I'm just joking. Right? That's all like coarse joking. These are things, again, that become just normal, that become day to day. And again, this isn't a shaming message. It's a we need to be the ones that are set apart, that are not staying in the same place that everybody else is at. That when people leave a group of Christians, they should feel built up and encouraged. They shouldn't feel the same way they feel with their unsaved friends. There should be a difference in us. There should be a difference in the way we communicate. There's so much power in our words, but I think we just gloss over it. We don't make a big deal of our words. Oh, it's just words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a bunch of crap. I'm telling you, not to say bad language, just say crap, whatever. But listen, words affect us. That's probably the things that we think about the most, is the words that people said. Whether it's positive about us or it's negative about us. Those are the things that we dwell on. Not what somebody looked like, what somebody said to us. And the most powerful, or one of the most powerful things that we have, is our words. I remember growing up in high school, I got picked on a lot. And so I made sure that nobody would pick on me anymore by the way that I talked to them. And I'd get mean with my words, and I got really good at putting people down. And I'd feel better about myself. Like, that's right, you didn't pick on me anymore. I was like a skinny little kid. I couldn't actually fight or anything, but I could yell at people. Yell obscenities and... But I was harming people in the process. And once I got saved, I had so many people I had to go repent to afterwards, because the Lord kept convicting me of all these people I just traumatized with my words. That was a fun first couple of years of being saved. It took a while to get to all those people. Right, but we have so much power in the words that we communicate, both positively and negatively. We have the power to stifle somebody, to put somebody down, to make them be filled with fear and anxiety. And we also have the power to release people and empower them and make them feel loved and cared for. And they're like, they're the most significant thing in the world. There's power in our words. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue can bring death or life. Seems a little bit dramatic, right? If I say the right words, I might kill you with them. But it does bring death. Because when we start to speak negatively over somebody, we start to tell them they can't do it. They can't do it. I remember, you guys are going to judge me. I remember telling this kid that he couldn't play basketball. He was terrible at it. It was pretty harsh. But anyways, I kept telling him. And eventually he just quit and he stopped playing. I'm like, dude, why'd you quit basketball? He's like, are you kidding me? He kept telling me I was horrible. And so I stopped. See, our words can bring death to people because then they stop following the things that they're either made for or they're driven by or they want to do, and it starts to change that person. It brings death to that area of them. Think about all the people that have committed suicide because of the way people talk to them, harm them with their words, and they felt worthless because people told them that. Right? There's power in our words, both life and death. And I know I'm kind of hammering this tonight because I think it's important. Because we minimize the power of our words. Like, I was just joking. Gosh, taking everything so serious. I was just kidding. He knew I was just kidding. Did he? Does she? And is it necessary? Is it necessary for us to make those kind of comments over people? So we can build people up or we can tear them down. We can empower them or we can silence them. We can give them courage or we can put fear inside of them. Just with our words. We can heal and restore people or we can break them down and break them apart. This has become normal in our culture. Just to kind of freely say whatever you want. I think about the people on Facebook. I'm trying to find a statistic about this, but I couldn't, so I'll make one up. 90%, don't quote me on this, 90% of the things people put out on Facebook is negativity or complaints or just like, I just needed a place where I could just get it off my chest and just kind of complain to somebody. And only 10%, again, this is a made-up statistic, only 10% of people say something positive about other people. Not just about themselves, but about the people around them. Okay, that's a made-up statistic, obviously. I've said this a couple times. But listen, I still think that there's a high percentage of the time where we just use that place to complain, to whine, to put people down, to fuss about the restaurant and how they didn't serve us right and their food was terrible. Rather than saying something good, man, that place was so amazing. This person was so great today. We should be using platforms like that to be able to empower people. Think about all the things you say on Snapchat. How much of it is directed at, like, intentionally building somebody up? How much of it is directed at either just nonsense, doesn't really matter, or just, like, tearing people apart? We're called to stand out. We're called to empower people. We're called to build people up and to refrain from that kind of talk. Okay, so Ephesians 5 tells us refrain from this stuff, right? So what do we do instead? How do we change this? Well, then the next verse down, it says, instead, be thankful to God. Now, when I read that, I was like, how is being thankful like the opposite of coarse joking and all that kind of stuff, right? So I looked up the Hebrew word of it, and it says this. This is exactly how you say it in Greek, not Hebrew. Eucharistos, it's perfect Greek. Two words put together, right? The first word, eu, means well. And then the second part, I'm not going to try and say it, means to grant freely. So we think about it like this. Well and grant freely. Look at what is well and grant it freely. Look at what is good and praise it freely. See, this is what we're called to do in being thankful, is we look at the good in the situation and we praise what is good. We look up to God and we know that God is good no matter if our situation is bad. If we believe that God is working everything out to his glory and his goodness, that no matter what situation we're in, for those who believe in him, he's going to work all things out to his good. If we trust that God is good, then we are looking to the good in every situation and we are praising him no matter what. See, that's what a thankful heart does. A thankful heart looks to the good in the people around you. It looks to the good in yourself and it praises that. See, so many times we go to depression and anxiety because we think there's something wrong inside of us. We look at the faults, we look at the mistakes, and we dwell on that. Rather than looking at the good that's inside of us, the good that God has placed there, the things that we do well, our abilities, our strengths, and we start to praise God for the good that's inside of us. See the change in our mindset when we start living that way? Right? We start to look at people and we don't just look at their circumstances. We don't just look at how annoying they are. We look at the good inside of them and we start praising that thing. And in some people, it's like this big. There's like one good thing that you can find. Praise that one good thing that you can find. Call that out of them. Believe it in them. See the potential inside of people, and we start to speak into that potential, and we start to call it out because we're being thankful for the good things that we see. We're being thankful for what God is doing in our midst and around us. And we're no longer so focused on negativity. We're no longer so focused on everybody else's faults or our own insecurities. It's a lot of times people that make fun of other people are just insecure. Nobody said anything good about them. So we look for the good in people and we start to praise them. We start to believe in them. We start to call it out. We start to cultivate it. And then we change the mindset from negativity, from coarse joking, from putting people down, from mocking people, from sarcasm. We change that into start building people up. Look at the good things that they do. Highlight those because I promise you they probably see their mistakes and their faults. So whether it's on a sports team, a dude on your team turns the ball over like 15 times, but then finally makes a shot, praise them in the good that they're doing. And it's not to say to ignore everybody's faults and ignore critiques, but it's saying that we are already pretty good at critiquing, right? I think we need help in that area. I think we need help in the area of praising people and encouraging the things inside of them and starting to pull that out and cultivate that inside of them, right? That's what being thankful is it's looking for the good in people and it's praising it. When we start thinking and dwelling on what is good, the things we're thankful for, the things that we have already, not the things that we don't have, not the things that the people around us don't have, but we look for the things that we're grateful for and we're thankful for. Our mindset starts to change. We look through this different lens at people. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you start filling your heart and your mindset with the things that are good, the potential in people, the things people are doing well, the things that you're doing well, the things that God is doing in the midst of everything around you, when that's the thing on your mind, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And a lot of times we fill ourselves with a bunch of garbage and we think a bunch of garbage, so what comes out of our mouth is garbage. Abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So focus on having a heart of thankfulness. And then we begin to unlock love in ourselves and in the people around us. Then we start to see those good things. We start to highlight them. And we start to point them out. And we start to talk to them. And we start to praise. And we don't withhold our praise. Even if it's a prideful person, many of you are like, no, I'm called on this earth to humble the prideful people. No, you're not. That's God's job. He'll humble the pride. You just set a flame to it. Keep encouraging them. Yeah, you are awesome. Yeah, great job. Build those people up. Encourage them. Don't withhold your praise from other people. Because when we start withholding it, that's when we start thinking the negativity. Man, that person's so prideful. Man, Andy's ugly. He's got no reason to be prideful. It doesn't even look good. You know what I'm talking about. So when we look at Jesus, when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was intentional with the words that he spoke over people, and he drew things out of them. He cultivated love in the way that he spoke. He didn't withhold his praise from people, and he didn't withhold his believing in people. He walked around looking for opportunities to love others and to intentionally drop little nuggets of love and wisdom and encouragement over others. So let's look at a couple things that Jesus did, how he used his words. First of all, he used his words to draw others to follow God and to follow him. So he'd call people out and be like, dude, come follow me. Peter, come follow me. John, come follow me. I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you how to be fishermen of men, fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to draw people in. I'm going to teach you how to cultivate this life of love. Just come follow me. And he was constantly bringing people and drawing people to himself into relationship with God. Second thing is he was always empowering people. Look at the disciples, right? They're just people off the side of the street. He just grabs them. He starts investing in them. And then he starts to send them out. And at one point, he sent out 72 people. And he's like, you guys are going to start doing the miracles. You guys are going to start spreading the gospel. You guys are going to start healing people. He empowered them. He let them go with his words. He'd heal people with his words, the blind, the lepers, the lame, the sick. He was always speaking life into them. Get up, walk, be healed. Open your eyes. He was restoring hope into people. He was restoring confidence and dreams in people. Look at the woman at the well, right? She was so caught up in fear that she wouldn't even walk out when other people were around. But Jesus noticed her and he loved her and he spoke words of life over her that she got up and she ran towards people. This is the life that Jesus lived. He taught people about God. People were always following just to listen to the words that he had to say. And he spread love, acceptance, and inclusion to people. Look at Zacchaeus, right? Everybody hated him. He drew him close. He accepted him. He loved him. This is the standard, guys. This is what we're called to, living a life of love. It's not a living a life of conforming to what everybody else is doing and just fitting in. It's radical. It takes us stepping out. It takes us looking different. It takes us looking foolish at times. It takes us being mocked at times. But knowing that every seed that we sow, that God can do something with it. Every time we encourage somebody, God can do something with it. Every time we acknowledge that somebody's struggling, we can be there with them. Every time we have empathy over people. Every time we ask people about their dreams and we start to spread hope into them. Yeah, you can do this. I believe in you. You're so gifted in this area. Every time we spread those little seeds with the words that we speak, we start spreading love. We start spreading encouragement. With our words, we have the power to give life, to restore, to heal, to empower others, to encourage, even to create. But we also have the power to create destruction, to tear people down, to to discourage them, to put fear in them, to intimidate, to just say careless words we don't really think about, but that actually pierce. But listen, we're made for so much more. We're not made just to destroy people with our words. We're made to empower. We're made to love. We're made to spread the gospel. Through our words, we're made to spread the gospel. So I want us to think about this. I want you to just close your eyes for a little bit and just think about the words that you speak over people. Are you intentional, or do you just kind of let whatever come out of your mouth? Are you the type that has absolutely no filter and just says whatever you're thinking? You're like, well, that's what I'm thinking. They should know. Maybe you stop thinking that crap. To think about, what are we surrounding ourselves with? What are the words that are coming out of our mouth? And are we starting with a place of thankfulness? Do we wake up every day thanking God for what we have? Are we always looking for more? Are we always looking for what we don't have? Melody, do you want to come on up? I want us to worship a little bit. And I want us to worship and think about what God has done for us already. I want you to think about what God has already given you and empowered you with, that you all have the ability to speak, right? Is anybody in here can't speak? That would suck. Okay, we can all speak. Good. We all have the ability to speak words of life into people or speak words of death over others. And are we intentional with the life that we're speaking? Are we intentional to build up and to encourage? Because I promise you this, every person wants to be loved. Most people don't know how. That's why they resist. But everybody wants to be loved. And everybody flourishes when somebody believes in them, encourages them. We all do better when people are speaking good things over us. And we probably make more mistakes when people are against us and telling us we can't do it. I was looking at this book today. It's called Whale Done. Yeah, spelled with a whale. Not whale, whale. And it was drawing this comparison between humans and whales. And if you ever been to, anybody been to SeaWorld? Pretty sweet, right? Those giant, like, killer whales, like, jump out of the water, and they do these crazy little tricks. What's that? They do these sweet little tricks, and they jump up, and they splash everybody, and everybody goes crazy, right? So the guy was talking to the trainers, and he was saying, well, what do you do to really train them? And he said, they always do better when you touch them, when you stroke them, when you encourage them. That's what motivates them to do these tricks. If they don't get that attention, they don't jump very high. They don't do very much. They don't listen very well. But once you start to encourage and once you start to stroke them like that, it's like life comes out of them. They're like, yeah, I can jump now. This is how we are as humans. When we get love, when we have somebody who believes in us and accepts us and like, dude, you can do this. I believe in you. So much more starts to come out of us. And we start to actually see the person that is deep down in there that we knew we could become, or at least your mama knew you could become. And you actually start living out that potential because of the words people speak into you. And you have that ability to speak that into others and draw that out of them. And love them. Take care of them. And watch them actually succeed in life. I want to be known as somebody that loves people so big and so radically. People can't help but talk about it. I want my funeral service to go on for like days. People talking about me. Man, he made a difference in my life. That's a little selfish, but I want to be a little selfish when I die. I'll make somebody cook for you. Right? I want that to be what people remember me as, is somebody who believed and loved them and cared for them and accepted them. What do you want? What do you want your life to reflect? What do you want your words to reflect? Because I promise you, if it's not intentional, it's not going to be life. It's going to sound like that. It's going to be destructive. If it's not building up, it's tearing down. If they're complacent words or you're just withholding praise, it's not producing life, so it's producing death. Bible's black and white, right? There's no middle. Jesus says he hates the lukewarm. Don't like the middle. It's death or it's life. What are we speaking? Are we speaking death or are we speaking life? Will you guys stand with me? I'm going to pray. I want us just to worship God. Now we come back to this place of thankfulness. That's where it starts, right? It's not about us just being so much better because we tried really, really hard. Yes, some of it is about us cutting out the things that are not pleasing to God, cutting out the things in our life that's not producing life. But it's about coming to a place of thankfulness before God. So if everybody, if you guys would close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Don't look around. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never experienced his love and his life flowing in you and through you, and you want to today and you want to experience him for the first time. Again, every eye is closed. Nobody's looking around. It's between you and the Lord. If that's you and you're saying, I never gave my life to Jesus, but I want to. I want this life living in me. I want somebody that believes in me like that and loves me like that. If that's you, simply raise your hand so I can pray with you. Anybody in here saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I never have before, and I want to today. One more chance. Anybody else? Anybody out there? All right. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship God back, and we're going to thank him for what he's done. And so let's just set your mind on that. God, we're so grateful that you love us. God, we're grateful that you have given us life. God, I'm so grateful that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, empowering us to live this life pleasing to you, God. Father, that we can just go, and even in the words that we speak to people can be life-giving, empowering, strengthening, giving them hope, restoring whatever's broken in them, God. Father, that we can point people to Jesus through the words that we speak, God. Thank you that you empower us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you believe in us. God, we just return to that place of thankfulness. God, you were so good. And we thank you for your love for us, God. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, let's just worship him.